Welcome to our March 2010 audio conference for pastors in partnership with the Network of Baptist Associations. Today we have the privilege of spending time with the Southern Baptist Great Commission Resurgence Task Force. My name is Bobby Gilstrap, and I'm the host for today's national teleconference with the directors of missions, and I'm the director of missions for Huron and Southeastern Baptist Associations in southeastern Michigan. As we get started, I want to let you know that we are recording today's conference, so verbal participation in our conference grants us permission to duplicate the voices on an audio conference CD or audio conference podcast, which we will post on our NOBA website by this time tomorrow. First, let me introduce to you our primary guest for today's conference. Pastor Ronnie Floyd is the pastor of First Baptist Church, Springdale, Arkansas. He's also the chairman of our Southern Baptist Convention's Great Commission Resurgence Task Force, appointed by our current Southern Baptist Convention president, Pastor Johnny Hunt. With him today are members of their team. Pastor Ronnie, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate you joining us.
Thank you, Bobby, and I appreciate the opportunity. I was met yesterday in Denver with all of our Western State Convention executive directors, and so flew in last night and have another meeting with some more executive directors today that are flying into Northwest Arkansas, so I really count it a great privilege to be able to speak to everyone here today.
Well, we just appreciate you making the time to do this. I want to start real quickly with this. I want you to take just a brief moment, if you will, to introduce the members of the Great Commission Task Force team that are able to be with us. All of them can't be with us, but a number of them are. If you'll just real quickly give us a rundown of who's on the line with us today.
Sure. We have Tom Biles, who is an executive director at the Tampa Bay Baptist Association in Florida, and Dr. David Dockery, who's the president at Union University. And obviously all these people are GCR Task Force members. John Drummond, who is a layperson from Panama City, Florida. Al Gilbert is a senior pastor at Calvary Baptist Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And Al would join us about midway. He had a funeral he had to officiate today. Ruben Hernandez is the associate Spanish pastor at Prestonwood Church in Plano, Texas. Kathy Ferguson-Litton is the women's communicator. She's the wife of senior pastor Dr. Ed Litton at the First Baptist Church of North Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Mike Orr is pastor at the First Baptist Church in Chipley, Florida. Dr. Frank Page should be joining us. He's scheduled to, if possible. He is the vice president of evangelization at the North American Mission Board and is one of our former presidents of the Southern Baptist Convention. Dr. Jim Richards is the executive director at the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention. Dr. Simon Soy is the executive director of the Chinese Baptist Fellowship of the United States and Canada. And Dr. Ken Witten, senior pastor at the Ottawa Baptist Church in Tampa, Florida.
Very good. That gives us a good overview. And some of them we're going to ask questions directly, and they may have questions to interact with as we go. But also joining us from the Network of Baptist Associations, two leaders from that group that are co-sponsoring our conference today. One of them is Eddie Miller, who is Associational Missionary for Sierra Baptist Association in Reno, and he's the Executive Director for NOBA. And David Smith, who's the Director of Missions for Austin Baptist Association in Texas. So we're glad to have all of these men joining us today for our conversation and hopefully be something that will be very helpful to us. Let me give you just a few words of setup to understand kind of where we're going as far as the conference as a whole, and then we want to jump right into our questions. The audio conference ministry began from our association as a leader development kind of ministry back in 2006 for pastors. So this is kind of an unusual conference for us to be hosting since it's not training. Many of the Great Commission Task Force actually have been on our conference before as guests. Dr. Page and Dr. Hunt have both done conferences with us before, and so we're glad to have them back with us again. The Network of Baptist Associations, better known as NOBA, and I'll probably call it NOBA most of the time because that's the easiest way, but it represents over 370 associations whose membership represents 45% of the churches in the Southern Baptist Convention. NOBA is staffed by volunteers as a grassroots organization funded by donations from member associations. With only volunteer staff, NOBA seeks to facilitate the work of associations across America. Several years ago, the NOBA leadership saw the tremendous need for change and began working to change the culture of associations in America so that associational leaders could be more effective in their roles of pushing back lostness in partnership with their network of churches. Our associations are very much Great Commission type organizations that seek to lead churches locally to make a difference through church planting, leadership development, church strengthening, and obviously mission engagement. All that to say, I think as an organization and associations, Dr. Floyd, we can really affirm the GCR team's massive task of evaluating where we are and where we need to be going as a convention. So we want to thank you guys for your hard work, and hopefully today as we dialogue some that we'll understand more of what has gone into this and have a better understanding of possible outcomes at this point as we get to the point of it being approved by the convention as it moves that far. Nothing in recent history has really captured the attention of Southern Baptists quite like this Great Commission Resurgence Task Force work to reprioritize the work of Southern Baptists to reach the world. I frequently say, good people with good information will make good decisions. And with that in mind, NOBA wants to be a conduit for good conversation on these important topics related to your report. Now, our focus is obviously how associations can be a part of spiritual revitalization and intentionally fulfilling the Great Commission together. So, Pastor Ronnie, let's jump right into our questions, and I want to start with you, if you don't mind.
Sure.
And then we'll try to move through the questions as quickly as possible. We've already kind of forewarned all of the team that we want to be as succinct as possible so we can get through as many questions as possible, but that may be hard. As we do. But actually, I forgot we had decided that we were going to let Jim Richards and Tom Biles start with the first question that we had discussed. I apologize for that. And really, this is a great question for them to address because both Jim and Tom both have been associational missionaries. So both of you guys have a great understanding of the value of associations and that local connection and, you know, how it's kind of a front seat with our churches is understanding what goes on. But what I want to ask you guys is relative to the associations and how they can play a part, because for over 300 years, associations have been on the front lines of ministry. As your team sees the future, what role do you see for those local networks of churches in revitalizing Southern Baptist involvement in the Great Commission? Jim, if you don't mind, why don't we start with you, and then we'll throw it over to Tom real quick for a response.
Well, I appreciate that, Bobby. Probably Tom ought to answer first for several reasons, but I'll be glad to give it a shot.
All right, and speak up real loud for us so we can hear you clear.
Okay. First of all, I would say that churches form associations, so therefore local churches are the ones that give direction to the associations as they rise up on the local level. So the Southern Baptist polity is not a top-down, but it is a top-down in the sense that the local church is at the top. And so, therefore, on the local level, these associations come into being and are directed by the local churches. On the Southern Baptist Convention involvement, especially with the Great Commission, is to find associations that are ready and willing to partner to carry out that Great Commission effort in those particular locales, whether it's the North American Mission Board or the International Mission Board. Involvement in local association life to facilitate, engage, and enable those associations to carry out the Great Commission. So I would see the role of the local associations as the ground level, the very point of the spear going in for the Great Commission, because the local church is actually the focal point. And the association is secondary in its importance behind the local church, and then NAM, IMB, and other SBC entities. So I see the association with a very vital and important role to play. And as you say, having been a DOM and loving the work of the association, I can see nothing but a very strong partnership among the various SBC entities helping the association accomplish its ministry to the local churches.
Excellent. All right, Tom, any further comment?
Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you, Bobby, for making these arrangements. Just real quickly, the focus of our task force has been trying to determine how we can be more effective in carrying out the Great Commission, and we've kept that as our central focus. Dealing with your question, it's at the heart of what God's called me to do in my own life. He's allowed me to be in the ministry for 48 years, 21 years as a pastor and 27 years in associational and state convention work. And That includes 26 years in pioneer mission states. And so the work of the association is very close to my own heart and passion. And I see the association as the closest denominational unit to the church. I see the association's helping in a massive church planting movement across America and around the world. I think the report will be greatly beneficial to associations across America, helping to create Great Commission awareness, missional focus. Associations will be included in the Great Commission giving, which I think raises the level of associational giving. And I think this will help more of our churches to see that the convention has set its priorities on church planting, evangelism, and discipleship. So for me, the association is going to be at the heart of a movement for church planting across America.
Absolutely. Boy, that's great to hear. And you know, the reality is we've heard a lot of feedback, in our area regarding not a whole lot of things are mentioned in your report about associations, that kind of thing. There's only, I think, 7 times the word associations even used in the entire 32 pages or whatever the report length is at that point. But the reality is the association is a separate entity. It's not within that denominational structure as far as conventions and the national entity. But yet, just as you've said, a tremendous partner and needs to be a partner. That's part of what we want to do, as local associations, is be able to come alongside to continue to be a valuable asset in fulfilling the Great Commission. So thank you, fellows, both for that response. Let me move on, Dr. Floyd, and turn to you. You know, obviously we've had to do a lot of review, and you guys had to do a lot of research to draw the conclusions that you present in your report. Tell us a little bit about how you gathered that data.
Well, thank you, Bobby, again. And the most difficult thing we've had to do is to wade through all of the Southern Baptist denominational organization. I mean, it's very challenging. It's big. When you have 1,100 associations and 42 state conventions and 50,000 churches and congregations, and you know, you've got all of that we've been assigned to do in 12 major national entities, I mean, that is a very difficult task. And so we've talked to people. We have received hundreds of things from Southern Baptist encouraging us to look at this and look at that. And we have interviewed people. We have brought in many of our leaders and received reports from them. We have tried our very best to keep our focus on what our assignment is, and that is the Great Commission. A lot of people would love for us to do all kinds of things in this denomination right now, and I'm sure there were many who were very disappointed that we didn't do this or didn't do that. But the bottom line is, Bobby, we've been commissioned to do one thing, and that is take a look at how we can more faithfully and effectively accomplish the Great Commission, and to try to find a way to do that in the best way we can to put more dollars, more personnel, more strategy towards penetrating lostness. I think if I could define what the GCR is about, I think there's a lot of things that are being said, there's a lot of things being written, and that's fine, but I just want to tell you what it's really about.
Good.
It's really about penetrating lostness, and that's really what our goal is that we have been asked to do this in relationship with the Great Commission. Well, the Great Commission goes where the gospel has never gone before. And the progress report is exactly what it is, Bobby. It is a progress report. It is not a final report. We are still working. My soul, I have given my last few hours of my life to this. I mean, if I thought it was over and this was our final report, I wouldn't be on this call today. I wouldn't be meeting today with other people. Wouldn't have met yesterday and gone to Denver back and forth in a day. And wouldn't have spent Saturday working on GCR matters and Friday, my day off, working on GCR matters. And so my point is that we're not even there yet. We're trying to get there. And one of the real positives about the progress report is that we've been able to receive feedback and we've been able to hear from our people. And so, you know, that's a real positive thing, and that's one of the reasons we wanted to do it, was to say, hey, what do you think? This is our direction presently, and will that be our direction ultimately? At this point in time, only the Lord knows, but we're moving forward, and the best thing I can tell you is we are praying, We are listening. We are meeting. We are doing our best to try to grow and to learn, and that's what we're doing. It's a very, very difficult learning curve for all of us. And I think anybody who is even in the part of the denomination is one of our leaders. I mean, as far as maybe they receive dollars and cents from our denomination, every one of us have learned. I mean, and one thing that I want all of you to understand today on the call too, Bobby, and no one's talked about this, but, you know, we have 8 members of our task force of 22 that receive compensation for serving Baptist entities, from the associational level to the state convention level to the national entity level. And that's pretty unique for a task force of this capacity. And, of course, also many pastors and people from all walks of life.
Right. Well, and I think probably most would acknowledge the tremendous sacrifice that has been required of so many of the task force members. This isn't something that's come just overnight, and that's why I ask you about the research, because you have to have spent a lot of time, and we're going to ask some questions here in a minute that you'll unpack some of that, you know, what
sure.
you discovered, what you found, you know, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
But you know, you mentioned talking to lots of different people and committees, and I would assume that you've also, since these things are all addressed, that you talked to state convention leaders, asked for their feedback about many of the issues relative to, you know, the cooperative agreements and some of those other kind of things. How many of those state convention folks do you think you guys have talked to in trying to formulate some of your plans?
Well, we met with them all in November in Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
And we invited every one of them to come, and we heard what they said, we listened to what they said, and we have been in you know, continual dialogue around the way. And what we have to understand is we have two executive directors of state conventions sitting on our task force. And so again, decisions we have made have not been made in a vacuum away from this denomination. And so with that, this is not a group of radical people out here that are trying to upset certain people. No, we're a very balanced group that's trying to find and discover the will of God on the best way this denomination can work together towards penetrating the lostness of the United States, the lostness of North America, and the lostness of the rest of the world. And all that begins in our own local churches, in our own local associations, in our own state conventions, and so forth. And so that's really our commitment. I mean, yesterday I sat with and I listened to 13 people that are a part of Pioneer Conventions. I've got 3 coming in today. Dr. Richards has flown up here to meet with us today as a representative of our task force with us, who is another state executive director. We are listening. We are engaging. I talked 2 weeks ago to pretty well all of the state convention directors in the Northeast, and spent quite a bit of time with them, a lot of time with them, for over a 2-day period of time. And so, you know, we're listening, and I want everybody to understand we are moving forward to try to do what Southern Baptists have asked us to do, and what ultimately each one of us will give an account to God for what we will do. And and our goal is lostness. We want to penetrate lostness.
Well, I think you'll find consensus. I think you'll find consensus of most everybody that is a valuable goal, and there's not going to be any question. I think, as you would well know, having been in leadership for a long time, and I've experienced it at all levels as a pastor and a director of missions and denominational work, a lot of times the flurry of response to things comes as to the process, and not so much oftentimes the final goal. And I think that's part of what's happening across our convention. And one of the things I'm encouraged by, just hearing you even just now, is the fact that you're listening. Because there's some that feel like you haven't, some that feel like the makeup of the team itself did not lend itself to hearing effectively from you know, new work areas, and the thing with the cooperative agreements didn't lend itself to having really the hearing of those. And so, you guys, I think on the GCR team, we suggested that you read through all the questions that had been posted, because we knew there was no way we would be able to touch all those. But there are several themes that recur there, and we're going to try to address some of those more here in a little bit. But you can see many of those themes, and some of them, you know, they're very emotional, and you understand that. that emotional response of many of the writers of those questions. So I tell you what I want to do. Let's keep moving, because I want to come back and maybe touch on some of these other critical issues. That
hey,
there
Bobby,
are
can I ask
yes.
you one? Can I
Absolutely.
Make a statement? And,
Absolutely.
Don't mean to butt in by any means,
no, no.
but you made a statement, and I want to be sure everyone understands.
Yes.
You made a statement concerning the task force and the members on the task force. Let me,
right.
let me just say this. First of all, none of us asked for this job. I want to make that real clear. And now that we have this job, I can assure you none of us asked for this job. But we talked about no, you know, limited numbers or no one being from the pioneer conventions. Well, that's not really a correct statement. Dr. Simon Soy lives in Arizona and has served there. We're talking about people like Kathy Litton. Kathy Litton lived for years and years in Denver, serving as the wife of a pastor. We're talking about people like John Cope, who is in Philadelphia, has been there 9 years ago, started planting a church. We're talking about Tom Biles, who spent much of his life up in the northern part of the United States. And there are others, you know, I mean, Roger Spradlin, who met with me yesterday, is from the state of California, has given his life to reaching California. So, you know, Dr. Hunt's the one that appointed the committee or the commission, and our goal is simply we've just been out here to serve. And so I think it's a lot more diverse than what people imagine, and I just want to be sure everybody understands that, because there's been a lot written about that, and really just the reality is, you know, this group is very diverse, and I can assure you of this. Every time you lead this group, it's like going to a mini Southern Baptist convention and leading it. And so there's a lot of opinions, there's a lot of feelings, and a lot of matters that people feel deeply about all on our task force.
Right, sure. And I, you know, I appreciate you clarifying that. If you've read some of the commentary going back and forth, you're fully aware that is a point of controversy for a lot of folks. I don't think this is any news. Let me just kind of address the elephant in the room to some extent related to this subject. And I do want to move on to these other questions. But the kind of elephant in the room is people's perception of what that looks like. I have a saying that I say quite frequently around folks, and that is, when you mix religion and politics, you get politics. And so people's perception sometimes is, well, this is political, and you know, certain people are connected, and this, that, and the other. I don't think most of us would want to assume that were the case, and you know, I don't know most of you guys that are on the task force. I've met Dr. Hunt. He's worked at, done an audio conference with us. I had a lot of respect for him. I don't sense that he's motivated just by trying to do that. But I think the perception is among those that are on the task force that there's not a lot of a lot of words coming from those who are in currently serving in pioneer areas that would be in the know relative to some of those critical issues that the task force has dealt with. But now, you just mentioned, and again, let me reaffirm, because you've said, you know, you're listening, you know, you're meeting with these executives, these people from New Work conventions, all those things, because that communicates huge things to me that, yes, this is a preliminary report, and you've said that. You guys have made that amply clear. But that there may be some significant changes that come down the pike, because you are hearing a lot of things, both probably positive and negative, but you're getting a mix of that as you move forward. So I think that's a good thing, but I think you probably already understand that perception that many people seem to be voicing.
Well, Bobby, you know, I want Dr. Dockery to weigh in here in a moment on this with me, and I think that the thing I would say to you is that how much will the report change? I don't know. I don't have any idea at this point. What I do know is that we want to do what's right. No one wants to hurt anybody. We did not get in a room and say, okay, now how are we going to disturb everyone in the SBC? What we're learning is that we're all committed to the Great Commission. We're just having a hard time about how to get there together.
Right.
And that's our goal, okay? And we're going to do our very best to try to do that. But at the same time, the ultimate thing is there's going to have to be sacrifice. There's going to have to be change. I learned a statement years ago that really, really helped me in my leadership. And that statement was, the process always precedes the product. Well, Bobby, if I want a different product, I've got to change some processes. And some of the processes in Southern Baptist life need to be addressed. And again, I wish everyone could understand our heart. I wish we could look face to face, because what we must understand is that these are not good and evil choices. Those would be easy. You know, these are good versus what's best. And so that's why the struggle's out there. That's why the tension's out there. But Dr. Dockery, why don't you help bring along our folks today on this subject as well?
I'd be glad to do that, Ronnie. Thank you for the privilege to be a part of this conversation. I think our entire task force is united in our desire to bring Southern Baptists together as a people, to help us see consensus, renewal, to work together in new, cooperative, and collaborative ways. I think we have learned afresh about our work, and we've realized that some things that worked very well for us 50 years ago may not be the most effective ways of addressing the new issues of the 21st century, and that's what we're trying to figure out, how the best way to address those matters.
Dr. Dockery, while we have you on the line, David Smith, one of our guys, has a question related that we want you to respond to, if you will. So, David, you on the line there?
Yes, David.
All right, take off.
Dr. Dockery, good to have you on the conversation with us. You know, as Dr. Floyd was talking about how we get there in terms of the Great Commission, you know, one of the best ways to move forward is with some great core values. You all have put together a tremendous list. You know, for those listening, that list, Christ-likeness, truth, unity, relationships, trust, future, local church, and kingdom. And as you've heard from Bobby, as Associational Directors of Missions, we're interested in being a part of what God's doing, leading us toward the accomplishment of his kingdom advancement. What do you see are the first, or, you know, maybe the top two in terms of core values as we begin now to go ahead and begin to move us further along in advancing the kingdom? Could you address that, please?
David, thank you very much for that question. We have thought very carefully about these core values, and we believe they're significant for helping to change the culture of Southern Baptist life. Southern Baptist life at this time, unfortunately, is characterized more by a fragmentation than cooperation, and there are so many aspects of our work that are characterized by decline rather than moving forward, that we believe these core values, which are interconnected and which work together, if adopted, can help change the culture, help us focus on things that we share alike, and can emphasize cooperation as the means toward accomplishing the Great Commission. So in that sense, it rests first and foremost on a commitment to truth, a recognition that God has revealed himself to us, made himself known to us in Jesus Christ. His word is available to us today through Holy Scripture. And so that commitment to truth, I think, is primary. But second and close by would be a commitment to unity, working through love, as we find ways not to celebrate our diversity and autonomy within and of itself, but our diversity in unity and our autonomy in cooperation. And we can only do that as we manifest Christ-likeness in our lives individually, which would result in, hopefully, building relationships, increasing trust, and helping us develop a new generation prepared for the future. It all rests in the work of the local church, but exciting aspect of our core values is a recognition that whilst we serve Southern Baptist and our report is for Southern Baptist, we can't go it alone. And so we want to be kingdom citizens working in partnership with those who love the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I see all the core values hanging together and being very interrelated and interconnected, but they rest on a commitment to truth, a desire for unity, and expression of Christ-likeness in our lives.
Thank you, Dr. Dockery.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you very much. Dr. Floyd, let's come back to you real quick. On page 22 of the preliminary report, you refer to funding project-driven efforts in future partnerships. Explain what your team is looking at. What do you think that's going to look like?
Well, I think that one of the things that needs to be brought with greater clarity is that about the North American Mission Board, by no means does this task force ever imagine the North American Mission Board being an island in and of itself, not working in partnership with local churches ultimately, but also obviously with local associations and local state conventions. Our heart is that partnership continues. The issue is that partnership may not look like it's looked before. The strategies that may be used may be different than they were before. And basically, when we use the word projects, that word projects may have not been as clear as it needed to be, because we deal with that in relationship to a task alone without perhaps a person leading that task. But I think probably our heart would be more strategies than projects, and those strategies that would be developed would obviously along the way, not all the time, but sometimes would involve people being involved in those strategies, leading those strategies with whoever the partners are in ministry. And so our heart overall is that we are not trying to create a North American Mission Board that is operating in and of itself. I mean, the North American Mission Board can do nothing apart from the local churches and can do little apart from the associations and the state conventions. We need each other. And the issue is going to be, our heart is that it's not an issue, but our heart is that those strategies may look a little bit different than they've looked before.
Well, I would be one of the first to affirm the need for systemic change. And anybody who knows me knows that I get in more trouble because we're always looking for new innovations and how to do things in a different way to be more effective. And so I don't have any problem with us needing to make change. But many questions have arisen from, and I think you probably identified it, some of the language maybe not as articulated as clearly the way the people who have read that have received it maybe as what your intent is. So, and I don't want to put words in your mouth. Let me state this, and you tell me if I'm on or off base. What you're saying, basically, in a nutshell, is even though at this point you're recommending, you know, phase down of cooperative agreements and those moving out, and some changing in relationship, trying to look at how the structure needs to relate differently, that what you are anticipating is the quote unquote what we call cooperative agreements now won't exist as they are because, you know, we're going to try to change that, but yet there will still be a presence of some kind of covenants, or I guess it could be called a cooperative agreement too, but some kind of covenant between various groups, whether it be directly with local churches, whether it be directly with associations or conventions, to try to fulfill that given work. For instance, our association and churches, if we're partnering together to start a church, we develop a pretty extensive strategy. Work together. We usually work then with our state convention and North American Mission Board. You're saying that it won't look the way it does now, but your vision is to accomplish that kind of a task. We're still focusing on working together, collaborating, in other words.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. We just believe that we need an overall national strategy in order to do that, rather than simply existing out here in and of itself. And that national strategy overall is a strategy to penetrate the lostness of North America.
I'm sorry to interrupt you again, but what comes to mind, though, sometimes the word strategy sounds, and this may be a misperception on our end sometimes, I mean, those who are hearing that word, but sometimes that sounds as though It's not a suggestion that this is what we're doing. It's kind of being implemented, you know, across the board, and this is how it's going to work, rather than setting the tone, setting a standard, you know, throwing out there, here are some things that are going to make this effective, and then the strategies be developed contextually in the field and help fulfill the overarching objectives of our convention and obviously the North American Mission Board.
Well, I believe in what you just said. I think that's what we're talking about. All we're saying is, just like the International Mission Board is the guiding strategist towards touching the world for Southern Baptist and with Southern Baptist, we're saying that we want the North American Mission Board to be that. And we're saying, that, again, they're not going to do that in and of themselves. I mean, as I sat there yesterday and had a three-hour-plus meeting with those men who serve these pioneer areas, it's very obvious they're going to know their areas and their regions a lot better than some person located in Alpharetta, Georgia.
Sure.
And so to operate in a vacuum and say, well, we're going to go up there and we're going to do this, well, you better talk to the people who are boots on the ground and figure out the best way to do that. But the strategies, plural, will be strategies that will be created to penetrate lostness. And that's where we are very convinced as a task force that our role and goal should be. That if we want to see the country touched, and that's, I know everybody wants that, then we have to have strategic strategies that are going after how to penetrate lostness in our regions, our states, and around all of North America.
Now, let me ask you this. One, I'm greatly encouraged to hear your clear statement of the partnership, wanting to be able to continue to partner with that local association, with local churches, with those conventions, even though that's going to look different, and understand that. But relatively, and this is still kind of a process question, I guess, and I'm sure a lot of the details maybe have not been worked out, but how do you envision at least, you know, personnel, for instance, let me be real selfish here for a minute, among our NOBA group and associational missionaries who are kind of our primary host, we have about 200 associational missionaries that are funded missionaries, fully funded missionaries in partnership with state conventions. If the cooperative agreements, you know, disappear and are phased out, then that greatly will impact the funding of those missionaries, just like, you know, the other missionaries across the board. And many, especially in Newark areas, many of the associations do not have the ability to be able to absorb the cost of being able to keep a missionary on the field at that point. In moving toward this project type of approach, as it's our funding a project-driven type of approach, and then based on the partnership issues that you've just mentioned and continuing those partnerships, how do you see that kind of a funding continuing for providing for missionaries like those associational missionaries in pioneer areas?
Well, let's use the word strategies rather than projects.
Okay.
Let's do that. All right. Because
good.
I think that will be something that we will hopefully do in our final report.
Okay.
Because of just the perception of the words, there's not a whole lot of difference. And just by the way, you know, page 22 is clear on the entire paragraph of what our commitment is towards the future. Not a lot of folks have read all of that, but I mean, you know, we have made a commitment to the future. We're just saying that the future is going to look a little bit different than the past. In relationship to these strategies, obviously we're still working that out. But in this is that I foresee personally, and again, I can't speak for the task force on this completely, but I foresee personally that in many of these areas, these strategies will continue as long as those people are connected to a strategy to penetrate lostness, and there is a beginning time and an ending time of that partnership, which is exactly what happens right now in relationship to cooperative agreements. But again, it all is going to depend on how and who is there to penetrate the lostness of our nation. And, you know, Dr. Jim Richards, who could probably bring some light on this with us, because Jim has spent some time on this mentally, and also, could you let Jim also chime in here on this subject?
Sure. And, Jim, let's be as concise as we can, and we're going to move on to another couple of questions because we're running out of time so fast, okay? So give us some additional insight here.
Okay, well, I'll give it a try. Thank you for the opportunity. obviously, we have a limited amount of resources with seemingly an unlimited number of people who need to know Christ in North America. So the prioritization of the resources to determine where we're going to send the people, where we're going to send the funds, is incumbent upon the North American Mission Board and the Southern Baptist Convention, and it relates, obviously, to the association strategy. Now, the difficulty that comes in is there's need everywhere, and yet there's only a limited amount of resources and personnel. So, I can't speak for the task force, but my understanding would be that our partnership with the state conventions and associations, and by the way, I'm a strong advocate for cooperative agreements with not only state conventions but also associations in our strategies, so that we don't walk on each other, so that we can accomplish more by coordinating our efforts. And if IMB is freed up to work in North America, particularly among unreached people groups, and then the North American Mission Board obviously having more direct missionaries, then I would see that it would be absolutely essential for us to have a cooperative agreement with a state convention and an association. Now, cooperative agreement and cooperative budgeting are two different things, and obviously the cooperative budgeting aspect of it would have to be done on those projects and efforts and strategies and events and goals and long-term and short-term measurable results that would advance the kingdom and carry out the Great Commission at its highest maximum investment. And so I think that, you know, that has to be done among partners. So the association, the state convention, the North American Mission Board, and if this proposal is approved, the International Mission Board would all want to enter into cooperative agreements so that we have a national strategy and we are maximizing our resources and personnel.
Okay, now, Jim, let me in a nutshell see if I'm digesting kind of what you guys have said. Existing missionary personnel, then, we're not saying necessarily that they're gone. I mean, they're eliminated. What we're saying basically is all that's going to be looked at, all that's going to be evaluated. For instance, in the case of associational missionaries, since that's kind of where we work, some of those may need to have job descriptions redefined to have a stronger emphasis in the areas of church planting and evangelism, the things that do more directly impact lostness, and that would be part of a strategic adjustment and change in their relationship with North American Mission Board, state conventions, whatever. So you're not suggesting necessarily that associational missionaries and or others just be blatantly wiped off the scene as far as our missionary force, and we reassign people with different kind of assignments. Am I digesting that close, clearly enough, or am I off base?
Well again, I can't speak for the task force, but for my personal opinion, absolutely. I mean, it would be foolish to try to bring new personnel in to areas that are working, that people who have the gifting and the skill set and who have the passion for that area, and who are willing to transition to prioritize their efforts and energy to carry out church planting as the number one emphasis in their job description. Absolutely. I think, I think again, we can't, as a task force, we can't tell the North American Mission Board how to manage this system. But our recommendation would be, obviously, that hopefully they would understand that the people are, there are many, many people out there that are already doing much of this under a different title or job description.
Very good. Thank you. I tell you what, let's use this as a transition. Eddie Miller, why don't you go ahead and ask Dr. Dockery a question related to implementation of some of the process that you guys are thinking about. Eddie?
All right, brothers. I admire your tenacity, and I, knowing that the Southern Baptist Convention has all of the machinery that's already kind of in place, how much implementation guidance do you anticipate giving to the entities that are directly affected by your report?
Eddie, thank you very much. I think that's an excellent question. The task force understands its assignment to be primarily one of vision casting. Our responsibility, as we understand it from the convention, is to come up with an overarching vision for how to more effectively, more faithfully carry out the Great Commission as a convention, which includes all aspects of our convention, the national convention, the state convention, its entities, local associations, and local churches, and find and inherent in that vision is a renewed commitment to cooperation and collaboration. But once we extend the vision, it will then be up to the administration and the board of the North American Mission Board to think about more appropriate strategies and implementation. It'll be up to state convention leaders, local association leaders, to work together in partnership. And I think partnership will be more important than ever in moving this vision forward. So the Great Commission Resurgence Task Force needs to best be seen as a vision casting group, which then will seek to hand off that vision, if approved by the Southern Baptist Convention, to people closest to the assignment and encourage and entrust them with the work.
Very good. Eddie, a follow-up?
Since associations are the closest to the local churches, and we work with them all the time in all different kinds of areas, do you have any specific suggestions for associations to help assist in this process of implementation and even the vision casting part that you have? That's a large part of what we do here in association work, because keeping the team pointed at the same target is some kind sort of hard. Working with Baptists is like herding cats some days.
Boy, you're exactly right. But I think we should celebrate the significance of local associations in our history. We recognize that since 1707, associations have been significant in the life of Baptist work, and that associations were present, active, and effective before the formation of state conventions and long before the formation of a national convention. And we need local associations to foster fellowship, to encourage doctrinal fidelity, and to work closely with other entities at the state and national level to create understanding of what needs to be done in that local area, and ways of connecting the vision in a less general way but a more specific way for the targeted area. Because even on this call today, there are people from every aspect of the country.
Oh, yes.
Large cities, rural areas, northeast, northwest, deep south, and there's not a one-size-fits-all product as it is applied on the ground from the overarching vision.
Yes, sir.
Very good. Thank you, Eddie, for that, and Dr. Dockery. Dr. Floyd, let me come back to you. If I'm hearing correctly, from your guys who have spoken, and I apologize that we're not going to get everybody on probably before our time's up, but if I'm hearing correctly, it appears that you guys very much sense that if your report is approved and implemented at the convention, and however those changes come across, and the IMB is to engage people groups in North America, that you very much have a sense that the IMB, International Mission Board, and North American Mission Board and associations are going to be working together to develop a comprehensive strategy for reaching all of the variety of people groups that we find within the North American continent as well. Am I accurate in saying that?
I would surely hope you're accurate. Ronnie Floyd nor the GCR Task Force can ensure that by any means, but I would sure hope that the next president of the IMB and the next president of the North American Mission Board would see it in their best interest to notify people and communicate with people that are already boots on the ground in relationship to that. While Jim said a moment ago about cooperative agreements will occur, you know, the concept of cooperative agreements will occur. Whether they're called cooperative agreements or not will be, you know, who knows what they'll be called. But obviously there will be some kind of commitment towards partnerships. I mean, that's been historically what we've done. That's what we're historically going to do. We want people to understand. We want to see these taken to a different level, a level that really exists. And I know you think I'm speaking one song today, but it's one of the only things that every one of us have in common, and that is a desire to penetrate lostness. And that's the only way we can get past our agendas, get past our own personal concerns, and try our very best to move forward in relationship to it.
Very good. Well, let's shift gears just a little bit and keep moving forward if we can. I think you've probably touched on this already to some extent. And Dr. Floyd, let me just start with you here, and we may want to go to somebody else, but I want to keep moving as quickly as we can. But if you've reviewed those questions that are posted on the NOBA website, you know that we've hardly scratched the surface of a lot of the concerns that are there, and we're not going to knock them all out, I know. But, you know, some of the question marks that people have in regard to the report are perceptions that the recommended shift is really an intentional top-down approach rather than a kind of field-driven, contextual-type strategy. How do you respond to that as far as what your real intent is?
Well, my response is a top-down. Are you referring to the North American Mission Board, or what are you referring to?
Well, I think the perceptions come from, and part of it, as you've corrected earlier, is the project-driven language. That's going to be dictated, that the missionaries are going to be directly accountable to NAM rather than through, you know, their local area with supervisors or whatever. I think there's several things that have kind of led to that impression.
Mm. Well, I regret that that's where anyone would have an impression. I thought basically our commitment to NAM becoming the leader of guiding us with a strategy towards reaching North America would be appreciated and understood. That is simply that we have somebody that's taking a look at the whole thing. Every one of us on this call can get into our own areas. I mean, there are very few people that can tell you more about how to reach Northwest Arkansas than me, because I'm a pastor, okay? And there are directors of missions in this area that are two directors of missions that serve this county, these two counties. I'm sure both those men would know as well as other pastors. But we're here. We understand it. Well, you know, while that is true, we still need a guiding strategy for the entire nation and for the entire world. And you know, with 233 million lost people in America out of 306 million, and we have such a limited influence in some of the major cities of the nation, and all of the challenges we're having in two-thirds of the United States that we're just really not touching. I mean, really, when you want to really look at the Southern Baptist Convention, we're much more a regional convention than we are a national convention. But at the same time, things have changed. We're all thinking differently. We think not only nationally, and Dr. Dockery spoke to this yesterday at Union Seminary, or Union University, in relationship to this whole concept. Now, because of the global mindsets in the nation today, even in some of our smallest cities and towns and villages in the country, a global mindset presides. Therefore, we are forced to think globally. And so what we're saying is, in this denomination of reaching North America, we have to have a strategist, somebody ultimately who is guiding an overall strategy. And hopefully that strategy is going to be gained because they're doing the very same things we're doing. We're listening, we're meeting, we're dialoguing, we're studying, we're trying to figure out where the greatest pockets of lostness are in the nation. And in relationship to that, hopefully having a guiding strategy that will help us to penetrate that lostness and to do what we can for Christ.
Let me bounce off of that into another question. And you had asked Kathy if she would respond to this. So, Kathy, if you'll be ready. But transitioning from that, you know, many are concerned about being in what many have termed a post-denominational type era, and if society is moving away from those mega structures, how do you see the recommendations of this task force now capturing the hearts and minds of the younger generation who are not as interested in the big denominational machinery, I guess I could say, as far as everything that's happening? They're much more interested in the hands-on, get their fingers and their hands dirty kind of work at that point. Kathy, can you help address that very quickly for us as we're wrapping up?
Well, I think the emphasis on the local church really takes the perhaps the unhealthy emphasis that some might perceive on the denomination, on the Southern Baptist denomination. I think highlighting the local church, and also we've used the word often on this phone called partnership. When churches of all sizes partner with ministry and missions opportunity, it gets everybody's hands dirty and doesn't have to go up some food chain. It comes through the local church. I think the post-denominational era will embrace the emphasis of the local church.
Very good. Thank you. Dr. Floyd, we're kind of running to the end of our time, and we don't want to keep people longer than what we promised. But I want, even though there are lots of questions we've left unanswered still, I want to still give you a few minutes that we have left here to try to take a final moment, some words of encouragement to our participants. The majority of people online are affiliated with associations, but we have, you know, pastors and denominational workers and others as well who are participating. But what can you say to us to encourage us about the direction we're going and how we can be a part as you see this moving forward as far as the Great Commission resurgence?
Well, once again, thank all of you. Before I get off the line, just to say thank you for being a part. And I'll be glad to do another one of these if you ever desire, Bobby. Because my goal is to try to help us all along if I can. In this, I think we all need to be encouraged about the younger generation. I can't tell you how many young pastors we've already heard from that absolutely loved everything about our report. Now you say, well, why is that? Well, because we've given them a vision. The vision is compelling. The vision to plant churches and to penetrate lostness. And as just as Kathy so eloquently said a moment ago, it's all about the local church. That's what they understand. They understand that. And if we'll just stay there and take them where they are and have a broad enough entry point into the ministry of this denomination to receive them in love, in a way that would honor the Lord and honor biblical truth, listen, man, they can help in a tremendous way. I've been on a few conference calls with younger pastors. Many of these guys, I don't even know. They just had a group. They said, hey, would you come on and talk to us and maybe go down on some of the GCR matters with us and since the report. And I've been on several of those already over the last 3 or 4 weeks. And so with that, many of them are saying that if the Southern Baptist Convention will adopt this, that there will be a real interest out here among a lot of people who, in their minds of their generation, have fallen by the wayside towards denominational matters to reengage. And they also believe that there will be many people out here who are more independent-minded in various movements out here who do not have a cooperative partnership with any denomination, that they will be turned on to this vision if we can churn the Southern Baptist energies to reaching and penetrating lostness, to global evangelism, and to planting churches in the North American area of the world. And that's what they believe. So I think that's an encouraging thing. I think you need to be encouraged that we will have strategic partnerships in the future. Are they going to look differently than they have? Yes. But listen, we would never want to recommend something that's not going to be more effective ultimately. Now, we might debate for a while about which is more going to be more effective, but you know the bottom line is to every one of you on this call and is that our hearts are broken, and I know your hearts are broken when you've got 70-80% of our churches that are plateaued and declining, and we have all of the people in our country that are lost without Christ. We think about the just under 6,000 people groups in the world that have absolutely little to no access, or they have absolutely no access to the gospel. We have some 1.5 billion people in the world who have zero access to the gospel. And, you know, I mean, we need to be encouraged that we're trying our very best to help us move into a direction that is more committed to global evangelization, but also at the same time really having a strong commitment to reaching our own continent. Because we know that if we can plant more churches and we can be more effectively reaching the lostness of this country, that in turn that's going to result in more people, more churches, more dollars and cents going ultimately in just a continual way towards, again, taking the gospel of Christ to every person in the world and to make disciples of all the nations. So people need to be encouraged about that. Another great encouragement, I think, is about the local church. Kathy said it again, and I mean, there is a strong, strong commitment on this task force group about the local church of Jesus Christ. That's who the commission's been given to, and everyone else exists to come alongside of those groups to do that. And so those are the things I would throw out real quickly to you, and I would say that this is a multi-generational report. It's not about small churches, big churches, medium-sized churches. We don't like any of that terminology. We think that terminology is divisive. We've not gone there as a task force chairman. I'm not let us go there because I don't think it's right. I think what we have to do is we have to do exactly what Dr. Dockery said a moment ago. We've got to work in unity together, and we have to come together around the gospel and move together with the gospel to penetrate the lostness of North America. So there are many, many things that we can be encouraged with. One great word is this, is that, you know, and many of these state convention leaders I've talked to, let me just give you an illustration of one of those that I dealt with. Terry Robertson, who's the head of the Baptist Convention in New York, here's a man who is literally in the area of the nation that is absolutely, absolutely lost, lost, lost. And yet, this dear brother believes firmly in our report, and he knows that there's going to be a change. He understands all of that. But overall, what he also understands is that we've got to come together to penetrate lostness, and he's willing to come alongside of that. And so I would urge everyone, pray for us. This is not over. We've got a long way to go. You know, if you're not a part of our prayer team, we have, as of yesterday, we had over 6,400 different people that are part of our prayer team, pray for us every day. Please join that prayer team. Encourage your churches to join that prayer team. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could see another 5,000 people come alongside of us and to pray for June and the unveiling of this report and the work of the committee in relationship to that, but most of all for the Great Commission. Because what we have found in our lives is when we pray about the Great Commission every day, God gives us more Great Commission opportunities. And that's what our heart is, Bobby. And that's what our commitment is. And I'm grateful for Dr. Hunt, who had the vision and had the heart to try to see us do things differently. Because, you know, it really breaks your heart when you look at and you know that in 1950 you had a lot less churches than you have today, but you baptized more people in 1950 than you did in 2008. If that doesn't break our hearts and help us to understand that we have to have something going on, not only in our denomination, but it all starts in the local church. But in reality, it starts back at the individual believer. And so what we want to do is to try to create an environment and a culture where we can, as a denomination, do everything we can to call people back to God and to call people to do everything we can to penetrate the lostness of North America and the world.
Dr. Floyd, let me say thank you to you and to the entire GCR task force for our discussion today. I'll be the first to admit associations in America are probably not as focused as we need to be on some of the Great Commission issues, although we're striving to do that. But I think I can also say that I think, especially with 23% of associational missionaries as appointed missionaries in Newark areas where we need the most impact, I think I can fairly comfortably say that our desire as associational leaders is to be a part of seeing God move in a powerful way across our country, and us being able to use that that momentum that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit and the revitalization we see spiritually among our churches in reaching lost people for Christ. Nothing will energize like that, and I think that the majority of associations and their leaders really want to be on board with that without any doubt, without any question. I just appreciate your time and the time of the committee. We realize that there are probably a lot more questions that we haven't been able to answer, and there'll be additional questions, I'm sure, once your final report comes out in May and then its presentation to the Southern Baptist Convention in June. Our prayer is that at least today our conference has helped to bring some clarity to some of the issues that will help us evaluate our personal role in seeing us return to a vibrant, God-blessed group of churches that are on mission together. Until next time, I'm Bobby Gilstrap for the Audio Conference for Pastors and the Network of Baptist Associations. Thank you for joining us today.